You all are a little bit closer. First service, everybody like piled into the back few rows. So I think when it fills up, you have to move forward. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I want to begin kind of as I probably usually do by asking you a question. My question is, are you good? How do you feel about taking gifts from people? Are you good at taking gifts?
Great.
some people are really good at taking gifts. Doug's one of them. Somebody gives you a gift, you're appreciative, that's great. Some of us have trouble taking gifts. I like to think that there's this nice altruistic reason because I don't want to inconvenience somebody, I don't want to put them out, and so I don't want to take a gift from them. But really, I think the true reason, more often than not, is pride. That I don't need your gift. I can take care of this. I can handle this. And if I can be just completely transparent with all of you this morning, I'm really good at offering help. I'm really bad at receiving help. Help's even worse than a gift. Because if I need help, that means I need to ask for help. Oh man, that's the most painful thing ever, is asking for help. And I know at the heart of that, it's my pride. It's that I want to be the guy who can handle it and take care of it all on my own. And I don't need anybody to help me with it. And I struggle with that. In fact, in the conclusion of today's message, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to try to be really open and honest with you about some things I'm currently being taught by God in a very difficult way. And then that's actually going to be our message for next week. We're going to really camp out on that and spend some time with that. But this morning, I think we have a really important passage that holds the first and most important key for us when it comes to refusing help and wanting to do things ourselves. Today we're in John chapter 13, and we're at the very end of the chapter now. We've gone all the way through John chapter 13, and if you remember, for several weeks now, we've been talking about Christ's sovereign and sacrificial love. Sovereign and sacrificial love have been our theme for the past month or so as we've gone through chapter 13. Well, today we're looking at the last few verses, verses 36 through 38, and the title of the message today is Accepting the Sovereign and Sacrificial Love of Christ. Accepting the Sovereign and Sacrificial Love of Christ. Let's read that passage. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 36. Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? I assure you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. I want to kind of follow Peter and his thinking and his struggle with Jesus in this passage. There's four things I want to talk about. The first is Peter's priority. Now, we get to see from the very beginning what it is that Peter's most concerned about and what he's worried about. The second thing we get to talk about is Peter's place. Where does he fit in this story? The third thing I want to talk about is Peter's promise. Peter makes this huge statement, I would die for you. Where does that come from? And lastly, Peter's problem. Jesus points out that his words are hollow. And why is that? What's the problem with what Peter's trying to do here? And at the end of today's passage, as I said earlier, I want to just share with you through this passage what God has really taught me this week as I've studied and as several things have happened in my life this week. So let's look at Peter's priority. The first part of verse 36 says, Lord, Simon Peter said, where are you going? Now, I don't know if you realize it, but something kind of funny happens here. If you turn back to the previous few verses, beginning in verse 33, Jesus says this statement. He says, children, I am with you a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I tell you. You remember, we talked about that last week. However, Jesus doesn't stop there, does he? What does he say next? A new command I give you. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, I don't know if you remember last week, but that was a huge moment in the passage. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. I command you to love each other, and not the old way that you used to love. Love just like I love you. Love in the same way that I have loved you. And then Jesus makes the huge statement of, this is how people are going to know that you're mine. This is how people know that you're my disciples, that you're my followers, is if you love one another the way that I loved you. That's a huge statement. And in the very next verse, what do we see? Peter goes, yeah, all that love stuff's great, Jesus, but what were you talking about going away? What's that part about? That's his priority. That's what he's thinking about. Jesus says, I'm going somewhere and you can't come. And then Peter misses the whole next point. Have you ever talked to someone and you can tell that they're not really listening to you? They're kind of just formulating their own statements while you're talking. That drives me crazy, and I feel bad because I do that to other people sometimes. But I can see Peter's face as Jesus is talking. Jesus says, where I am going, you cannot come with me. And then Jesus begins to talk about love and how you know me, disciples. And Peter the whole time is like, we got to talk about this going places stuff. I got a question. Hand raised back here. It's a question of his priority. Peter has set in his mind what kind of man he is, what kind of disciple he is. He's the one who will fight side by side with Jesus. And to the extent that it doesn't matter what Jesus calls him to do or asks him to do, he has made up his mind. He is a disciple who will stand and fight side by side with Jesus. And because of that, he misses some of Jesus' most important words in all the Gospels because they don't play into his priorities. I know that's what you're teaching me, Jesus, but that's not what I'm worried about. I'm the fighter, remember? I'm the disciple that never leaves you. Listen to this very carefully. When we approach Jesus, we must do away with our priorities. Let me tell you that again. When we approach Jesus, we must do away with our priorities, our agendas, our preconceived notions about who we are, what kind of man I am, what kind of woman you are. We gotta do away with all of that when we come to Jesus. We have to come to him empty. And we must be prepared to say, not my will, but yours be done. Second thing I want to look at is Peter's place. In the second half of that verse, Jesus answers him. He says, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later. The reason Peter can't impose his will on Jesus is because of Peter's place in the grander scheme of things, in the whole story. Where does he fit? Jesus' words here are really important. There's a couple things that should really catch our attention as we look at this. First of all, what Jesus says in the second half of verse 36 is very personal. In verse 33 that we read, when Jesus says, where I am going, you cannot come. In the Greek, we have you plural and you singular. In English, we just have you. In Pueblo, we have yous guys. So when Jesus in verse 33 says, where I'm going, you guys can't come. You guys can't come with me. And then in verse 36, it changes to singular. Jesus says, Peter, where I am going, you cannot come. I'm not just talking about the disciples in general, Peter. I'm not just talking about people who want to follow me. Peter, you cannot follow me. You cannot come where I am going. The second is that it's prophetic. Every single one of the Gospels records Peter's denial of Jesus and the prediction of that denial. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John all say that Jesus told Peter ahead of time, you're going to deny me. However, this one in John is different from all the others because it holds this statement that doesn't show up anywhere else in any of the others. Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow. However, later you will. That later you will follow, this is the only place that shows up in all the Gospels, just here in John. Where I'm going, you cannot follow, but you will. You will. The path that Jesus is walking to his death, he must walk alone. But after Jesus, Peter will follow that same path. According to Christian tradition, Peter was crucified under Nero, the Roman Emperor Nero. And according to Christian tradition, Peter requested to be crucified upside down because he did not consider himself worthy to die in the same manner that Jesus died. And so our tradition holds that Peter was not only crucified, but crucified upside down for his discipleship, for his following Jesus Christ. So Peter would definitely follow. He would definitely give his own life, just like he said. But it is oh so important that Jesus goes first. That's Peter's place. Jesus says, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, though you will." What we'll see at the end is the only reason Peter could follow is because Jesus went first. So let's look at Peter's promise in verse 37. Peter's still not getting it. And so, "Lord," Peter asks, "why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." We have a promise here. We have a statement. We have an oath that he makes. A strong statement of his devotion to Jesus Christ. "I will lay down my life for you." But what's behind his promise? I want to remind us of a passage that we read back in John chapter 10 in our study of John. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, this is what Jesus says. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." Now, do you think at this point in the story, Peter forgot about that? Do you think Peter forgot about Jesus saying that? I'm guessing Jesus probably said it more than once. But I can just picture Peter in John chapter 10 as Jesus is talking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." And then he goes on to talk about the hired man. And I can see if Peter's anything like me, which I have a feeling he is, I can see Peter going, "Oh, I'm no hired man. I care. I would lay down my life. I would die. I'm not that worthless hired man." And that's what Peter focuses on. That's what he's excited about. "I'm going to die. I'm going to lay down my life." But in saying that, he missed something very important, didn't he, in chapter 10. What did he miss? "I am the good shepherd." Peter, I understand you don't want to be a hired, worthless hired man. But you are not the good shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." Peter here is making a promise that is not his place to make. And as we will see in the end, a promise that he does not have the power to keep. So let's look at Peter's problem. Jesus says something really shocking in verse 38. "Will you lay down your life for me? I assure you." Now this is one of those, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." Remember, we've talked about this in John many times. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, a rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times." I can't imagine, as we read through that, I can't imagine how much that hurt Peter. You ever think about that? I mean, Jesus, you can tell Peter has a passionate love for Jesus. I mean, he just vowed to give his life for him. And then Jesus says, "No, you're not going to give your life for me. What you're going to do before sunrise today is deny you even know me three times." We don't hear from Peter again until chapter 18. What Jesus says right there shuts him up. He doesn't have anything to say after that. And I don't know if he's angry or he's hurt, but I can't imagine Peter hearing those words for the first time and what he was wrestling with when Jesus said that. Now, the cock crow is the third watch in the Roman military. It's between midnight and sunrise, between midnight and sunrise. And remember, they're at the evening meal here. And so Jesus is talking to him at nighttime. And it's nighttime, and he says, "Before tonight is over, That's what Jesus essentially says. Before tonight is over, you will deny that you know me three times. And Jesus' prediction comes true in John chapter 18. The first time is John chapter 18, verse 17. It says, "Then the slave girl, who was the doorkeeper, said to Peter, 'You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?' 'I am not,' he said." And then down in verses 25 through 27. "Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, 'Aren't you one of his disciples too?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off," in the garden, Peter's going to try to fight and cut off a guy's ear. We haven't got there yet. "But the relative of that guy says, 'Didn't I see you with him in the garden?' Peter then denies it again, and immediately the rooster crows." Something really interesting about that. I think we focus a lot of times on those last two denials, but the one that gets me is the first one. Because who is it that asks him? Did you pick that up in chapter 18, verse 17? It's a servant girl who is a doorkeeper. We have a little girl slave. You know, in their culture, in their time, in their system, you don't get anybody any lower than that. A little girl who is a slave. She's a doorkeeper. And big, strong, brave Peter, who will fight till the death for Jesus, in the presence of a little slave girl, says, "Oh, I don't know Jesus." He's afraid, intimidated by a little slave girl. "I don't know Jesus." Why? Why did Peter shrink away? Why was he so afraid? Why would he not carry out what he said he was going to do? And the answer is, Jesus had to die first. Jesus had to die first. Peter's denial comes about because he does not have the strength on his own. When he's confronted with a little slave girl, when he's confronted with servants, he does not have the strength to carry out what it was that he desired to do. He does not have the strength until the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, none of us do. None of us have the strength. This is the big contrast. This is the big turning point between Peter's denying Jesus and Peter giving his life for Jesus. What changed in there? Jesus died and rose again for Peter. That's what changed. Peter does not possess the power to die for Christ. In John chapter 21, we have a really interesting picture. It's the very last chapter of the book of John, close to the end of the story. Jesus has gone to the cross, and he's been resurrected, and he's appeared to his disciples. And then he has this very private conversation with Peter in chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. It says, "When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said to him, 'you know that I love you.' 'Feed my lambs,' he told him. A second time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said to him, 'you know that I love you.' 'Shepherd my sheep,' he told him. He asked him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' 'Feed my sheep,' Jesus said. 'I assure you, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go.' He said this to signify what kind of death he would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, 'Follow me.'" How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three. How many times did Jesus ask him if he loved him? Three times. And if you love me, Peter, What's the command? Shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Now, when Peter gets asked the third time, I think he understands at that point what's going on. I think that's why he's grieved. And Jesus explains very clearly to him what we just talked about. There is a time, there is a day, where someone's going to stretch you out, tie you up, and carry you someplace you don't want to go. And this time, Peter, you'll have the strength to do it. This time, you'll have the strength to do it. Peter does not have the power to die for Christ until Christ dies first. There's a lesson for all of us here. We all, in some way or another, desire to rescue ourselves, desire to earn our own way. We want to be the hero. We want to be the one who makes that sacrifice. This is pride. This is pride. And brothers and sisters, this is the lesson that God is currently teaching me. As I said at the beginning, I absolutely love to help people, and I absolutely hate to ask for help, because I want to be the hero. I want to be the guy that's strong. So what's God doing to break me of this currently? As many of you know, I've talked about it some in the past. It's been a crazy year for me and some health problems that I've been having. Over the last year, I've gone to 4 different doctors in 2 different cities, and no one seems to be able to give me any answers. It's been everything from, hey, you need to take some vitamins, to, hey, you need brain surgery. And it's just been a wild roller coaster for me. What we've figured out at this point, as best as we can tell, is I have sometimes a strange form of a migraine. It doesn't have a headache with it, but I'll have these migraines, and it'll cause all these flashes of light and blind spots in my eyes, and I can't see. And when it gets really, really bad, I have moments for just a few seconds, but I have moments where I can't read or I can't talk. Some of you have been here on a Sunday morning when that's happened. And brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, that is the most humbling, embarrassing, frustrating thing for a guy who wants to be the hero. It's been very tough for me. And so what we're going to do actually next week is we're going to take a break from John. We're finishing up chapter 13, so we're going to take a break from John, and we're going to look at a different passage. Next Sunday, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. I want to read that for you today. Paul is explaining all the amazing things that God has shown him and done through him. And then in verse 7, halfway through, he says, "Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Brothers and sisters, next week we're going to go in depth about that. But before we get there, what we need to realize today is that Jesus has to die first. What we need to realize before we get into any of the things about Paul's thorn and weaknesses and all those things is to understand that first comes the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There is no power, there is no strength, there is no ability before that. Whatever you're trying to accomplish, whatever you're trying to do, without that, you do not have the strength. You do not have the power. That's what Peter needed to understand, and that's what we need to understand. I want to close by looking at something in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Beautiful thing that happens here. In Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 39 is a big sermon. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes and fills the disciples, Then Peter stands up and he preaches this incredible sermon from Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, going all the way through to verse 39. And then at the very end, Peter gives an altar call. And it says, and with many other words, in verse 40, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. That's the guy that was afraid of a slave girl. Stood up to a crowd in the city square and preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people gave their lives to him. Peter doesn't have the strength to do that. We've clearly seen that. It is only through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and in Acts chapter 2, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that gives us that power. The Spirit only comes when we confess our sins, when we ask Christ to apply his sacrifice to our lives, to rescue us because there's nothing we can do to rescue ourselves, and to make us his child. And when we do that, he fills us with a power that is eternal, omnipotent. He fills us with his Spirit. Then and only then do we have the power to live out the life that he's called us to. So this morning, as we close, I want to invite you, first and foremost, Jesus has to die. You have to accept his sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. Nothing that you've done, nothing in your own power can save you. And so this morning, I'm going to give you a lot of opportunities. I'm going to close in prayer here in a moment. And if you, as we're praying, want to come sit on the front pew, I would be more than happy to pray with you after church is over today and talk with you about that. There's a card in the back of the pew. You're welcome to fill out a card and drop it in the offering box, and I'll get a hold of you. I will be shaking hands after church. You're welcome to come by and talk to me. But just know, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has to come first. The power comes after that. Amen? Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for the amazing love that you have for us. I think about my pride and my arrogance. I think about all the times that I've fallen because I work under my own power, and yet you continue to love me. You continue to fill me, and you continue to use me for your purposes in the midst of my weakness, and that is an incredible thing. So I thank you for that. Father, today I asked that if there's any here who have never accepted that Jesus has to die first, that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the only way that I can live the abundant, powerful life that God has intended for me. If we have those here this morning, Father, lay it on their heart. Let them come talk with me or pray with me. Let them talk with the person who brought them here. But I don't want them to go another day without the power of your Holy Spirit in their lives. And then, Father, for those of us who are currently walking with you, I ask that you would spend this week preparing our hearts and minds for what you have to say to us next week. Heavenly Father, I ask that you prepare our hearts and minds to talk about the thorns that you give us, the pain that you allow, so that we would always understand that it only comes from you. To God alone is the glory. So, Father, prepare our hearts and ready us for what you have to say to us next week. Bless us as we go with your presence and your Spirit. We can do nothing without you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you.